Good morning, or good afternoon. Good afternoon. Man, I'm so excited to share. So as you guys heard, man, this morning has been crazy with Alethea going through surgery. Things have been changing, all that stuff. But, man, isn't that such a powerful testimony about God coming? And, man, it seemed like something so bad. But the Lord used it for something so good and so beautiful. Right? Isn't that such a powerful testimony? Man, that's the God, kind of God we serve, and that's so powerful. And, man, when I read that during worship, I was just like so juiced. I was so excited. It's so powerful. And so, yeah, that's really powerful. I'm going to get into the Word, and before we do that, let's pray. Yeah, God, I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God. You are God that is with us. God, you're not a God that sits far away and just gives us rules and regulations. But Lord, you came, Father, to abide with us, God, to live with us, to live among us, God, so that we could have life with you, a relationship with you. And Lord, your desire, God, this afternoon, Father, is to come and make yourself known to us, God, to know that you are Emmanuel, you are with us, God, that you desire to commune with us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, one word from you, God, it changes everything. One word from you, God, it changes and shifts everything around us. God, we could be walking through the craziest things, the craziest storms, God, but we thank you, Lord, that one word from you, it changes everything, Lord. And so, God, we thank you for your word and, God, what you're going to speak to us. Lord, I pray for every heart that it would be open, God, to receive what you have for us this afternoon. God, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm not going to lie. I was ready to do third service, and then PB came up to me. He's like, all right, you're on. I was like, okay, let's do this. So as you know, a couple months ago, we went to Indonesia. And in Indonesia, I had an opportunity to do some teaching there with some of the pastors and some of the leaders. And we were talking about walking through victory, walking in victory with the Lord. And that's kind of where I got the sermon from. And walking in victory, and I really believe that hearing the voice of God is so key to walking in victory. Hearing the voice of the Lord is one of the biggest steps in being able to walk in victory. And so that's what I want to share with you. The passage from today's sermon comes from Matthew 14. So if you want to turn to Matthew 14, we're going to read verses 22 through 29. Okay. Just read along with me while I read it. Matthew 14, 22 through 29. All right, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already over a mile from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Around 3 in the morning, he came towards them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started to walk on the water and came towards Jesus. Amen. Amen. The voice of God, it changes everything. That's the title of my sermon. The voice of God, it changes everything. One word from the Lord, it changes everything. Now, I love Emmanuel, like the word Emmanuel, God with us. And this last season, I feel like that word, like Emmanuel, has really changed the way I've walked with the Lord. And Emmanuel means God is with us. And I feel like growing up, I've always seen God as a God who's far away, God whose rules I got to follow, God who's almighty, who's all-powerful, but I can't make him mad. I can't do anything wrong against him because then he'll get angry, right? And I'll fall out of favor with him. But this concept, Emmanuel, God is with us. He's with us. He's close to us. He wants to speak with us. He wants to have relationship with us, right? And if you have relationship with someone, the key to having relationship is that you speak to one another. You talk to one another, right? We must hear and listen to the voice of God. And the key to walking in victory is hearing the voice of the Lord. So hearing the voice of God is crucial in maintaining intimacy and walking in victory. So there's three things. When we don't hear the voice of God, actually what we do is we hear other voices. So the voice of the enemy, right? If we're not listening for the voice of the Lord, we hear the enemy's voice. And what happens is a couple things. We become disillusioned, right? We believe the wrong things. Number two, we become distant. We lose intimacy from God. And number three, we become directionless. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to walk. Maybe you guys have experienced some of these things in your life, right? But when we hear the voice of God, it encourages us. We believe in the things that he says, right? We believe in his truth. It empowers us. It gives us direction and where we're to go. And establishes us in intimacy in the truth and in who you are, right? So one word from God, it changes everything. So I want to talk about this story, and I love this story. You guys have probably heard me talk about this story a lot. This is like one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it's talking about when Jesus, he had just ministered to the 5,000, right? He multiplied the fish and the bread, and he fed the 5,000, and now they're like done ministering. And as soon as they're done, Jesus says, all right, get in the boat and go across, and I'll meet you, which doesn't make any sense because there's only one boat. And so he sends them on the boat, and they go across, and he goes up to pray, right? And so it says in the word that he went up to pray, and by the time he was done, it was late. In this version, it says 3 a.m. In some versions, it says the fourth watch of the night. So they left in the evening time around 6 p.m., right? And they get, Jesus is done praying, and it's 3 a.m. in the morning. But the word says they're only a mile off from shore. So it's very interesting because they've been rowing for 9 to 3. That's what? Oh, no, 6 to 3, which is 9 hours. So they're rowing for 9 hours. So the Sea of Galilee is actually only 4 miles wide, okay? So you imagine 9 hours of rowing. Who's rowed a boat before? It's pretty tiring. It's really tiring, right? You row a boat for 9 hours. You imagine you'd go a little farther than less than a mile, right? But it says the winds and the waves were beating on the boat. It was beating on the waves are hitting. The waves are crashing on the boat. The winds were blowing, and man, they're like rowing. And these aren't like average people, right? These aren't just your everyday people rowing a boat. These are professional fishermen who have spent every day of their life up until they came to Jesus, like learning how to row a boat, to fish, doing all this stuff. So they know, like, they've lived around this sea all their life. They know how to do it. But after 9 hours, they're still only less than a mile off from shore, right? Imagine how tired you must be. I went kayaking one time with my friends, and we spent probably only like an hour on the water. And at first, we were super excited. We were super juiced. I'd never been kayaking before, but after like 1 hour of rowing, we were all like, okay, it's time to go back. Like, this is really nice. It's time to go back. But the thing is, like, you know, the water, it comes in and out. So going out was really easy. We went heck of far. We went, like, really far. But going back, we're like, kayak, you do this, right? It's, like, so tiring. We're not that far, but it's so tiring. But for 9 hours, I'm just imagining 9 hours. Man, imagine, like, how tired they must be. So for 9 hours, they're rowing, and they're so tired. They're so fatigued. And they're like probably feeling like they're going crazy, right? That's how crazy the winds were. And it says Jesus began to walk towards them on the water. So Jesus was walking on the water. He was walking towards them, right? And it says that they were so disillusioned. They were so tired. I'm just imagining 9 hours. Like, you can't even stop because, like, you're just in the middle of the water, right? After 9 hours, you see Jesus coming on the water. And first of all, like, someone walking on the water, that's just ridiculous, right? Jesus is walking towards them, and they have no idea who he is. And so they cry out. They say, man, that's a ghost. I'm afraid. Right? For 9 hours, they're rowing. They are so far away from Jesus. They have no idea where he's at. They're directionless. They're rowing, but they can't even get anywhere. Right? They feel so far away. They're so far away that they could not recognize Jesus. You know, sometimes in relationships, if you don't have communication or you don't talk with someone, like, you could feel pretty distant, right? I think for me, I work a lot with Pastor Benjamin and Pastor Sonny, and I see him in the office every day, right? Every single day I see him in the office, and, you know, you would imagine that working with someone every day, you would feel really close. You feel, you know, like you're tight. But it's weird because there are some weeks where we just won't talk. Like, we'll talk in meetings, but we just won't talk, you know? And slowly, like, over time, I'll start feeling like, man, do they really care about me? I serve the church. I'm here every day. But, like, they don't even talk to me. Like, they don't even want to, you know, like, spend time with me. Do they even care about me? Have you guys ever felt like that with someone in a relationship? Yeah. And it's like my pastor. So I'm like, man, I just do work. And pretty soon, like, my thinking has totally changed. Like, man, they don't care about me. All I do is just work for them, and they just expect me to do stuff, and they don't even want to talk to me. They don't even care. Right? And then I'll talk with people, and they're like, no, that's not their heart at all. Like, they love you. Daniel, they love you. Right? You're, like, so favored. I'm like, no, they don't care. Right? But it's so weird, like, when you don't have that relationship, when you don't have that connection, when you don't hear from each other, like, somehow there's, like, distance created in your heart, right? And then finally I'll sit with them after, like, a couple months, and I'm like, I just don't understand. Like, I feel like you guys don't care about me. Like, you don't even talk to me. And they're like, what? what do you mean? We love you so much. Like, we talk to you every day, right? But there's something about when you don't talk, when you don't communicate, when you don't make that intention to hear each other, right? To hear words from each other. Like, something changes, right? And so these disciples, they're in the water for 9 hours. I mean, they were just with Jesus, but they couldn't even recognize him from the water. They're so tired. But Jesus comes. And what does he say? As soon as they cry out, it's a ghost, Jesus says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Right? And from that moment, when Jesus speaks, everything changed. For 9 hours, they were battling the winds and the waves. They're sitting in the boat. For 9 hours, they're wrestling. They're wrestling. You know, sometimes we just, like, wrestle with the flesh, right? We just keep wrestling. Like, we try to fight. We try to do it on our own strength. For 9 hours, they're battling the waters. They're battling the waves. And Jesus says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And suddenly everything changed. One word from Jesus, everything changed. It is I, do not be afraid, right? And the Bible highlights Peter. And so Peter, he's the bold one, right? He's the bold one. And so Peter, he gets up and he says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Tell me to come to you. And if it is you and you tell me to come to you, then I'll walk on this water just like you. And it's interesting because Peter, just a second ago, was one of them, like, in the boat, like, so scared, right? He's so tired, and he's so afraid. He can't even look at Jesus and recognize Jesus. But as soon as Jesus speaks, he says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Something changed in Peter. Something in Peter's heart changed. And this boldness came out of him. And he was like, Jesus, if it's you, and you're the one that's telling me to come, then I'll come, and I'll walk on this water. Not only will I not be afraid, but I'll even walk on the water. I'll be just like you, right? I'll be just like you. Something changed in Peter where he felt encouraged. Right, Jesus spoke to him, and his heart changed. He felt empowered. Man, I could walk on the water. I could walk. I could do something impossible. Walking on the water is not just like being bold. It's crazy. Like, has anyone here walked on water? No, I've never walked on water before. Right? He became established in the truth. If Jesus says it, then I could do it. If Jesus says it, I could do it. I don't have to look at these circumstances. Like, suddenly, it's like the winds and the waves, like, suddenly stopped, right? When you read the story, it almost seems like the winds and waves just kind of stopped right there. But no, the winds and waves are still blowing. The boat is still rocking. You know, when I was in Indonesia, we went to this island called Nias. And then from there, we got to travel to an island called Telo. That's right, Telo. So the island Telo, it's about 4 hours away. It's 4 hours away. And when we first left, we took like a big boat, which was like slower. Took us about 6 hours to get there. It's like the longest boat ride ever. But we got there, and on the way back, we were like, no, we can't do 6 hours anymore. We're going to take a speedboat. We're going to get there in 3 hours, right? We're not down to be on the water for 6 hours. So we take a speedboat, and we're traveling. And along the way, so there's two engines in the back of the boat, okay? And it's like so narrow that really only one of us could sit like in a row like this, the long ways, right? So we're going, and then suddenly the waves start, like, building. And I've never been on a small boat like that. And so the waves are starting to build. But we're like, oh, it's fine. Like, they'll know how to take care of it, right? And suddenly, like, the engine, like, falls. It, like, falls off the boat. And the guy's, like, grabbing it. And we're like, oh, what the heck? And he's like, oh, it's okay. Like, don't worry. So we're like, okay. He puts it back. It happens, like, 4 times. The engine is falling off. And we're like, okay, this is kind of weird. And so we see the guys who are navigating the boat, like, kind of talking to each other. And they look a little worried, right? And so now we're kind of like, okay, this is a little weird. And we start noticing that the waters are starting to build, like, higher and higher. It's to the point where, like, the waves are, like, way higher than the boat. Like, you can see a wall going, like, if we're going straight, the waters are like a flat wall in front of us, right? And so we're kind of like, okay, I don't know if this is good. The guy who's navigating, he's like, you know what? I think the waves are getting a little too big. So you know if, like, people who do this for a living, they sell you it's, like, not good? It's probably not good, right? So we're like, okay, what should we do? He's like, okay, I think we should turn around. But we had already come, like, an hour and a half, right? So we're, like, halfway. So he's like, you know what? We should turn around. We should wait till the waters come down. And Pastor Sunny, you know, she's a woman of faith. She's like, nah. We're going to keep going. The rest of the team's like, oh, okay. Okay, yeah, just believe, okay, yeah. And all of us were like, shut up about it. We're like praying in tongues, like under breath, right? And then we're like praying, but Pastor Sunny, she's like, no, we're going to keep going. And you know what? We're not only just going to keep going, we're going to get there faster than actually how long it's going to take. See, they had slowed down because we were going If we went too fast, like the engines would stall because we would like bounce out of the water because the waves are so high. And so they were going really slow. But they were like, okay, if you want to go, we'll go. And so I've never been on the water before, but seeing the waters that crazy like that, I mean, it wasn't as crazy as what I imagined the waves. You know, they were on the water for 9 hours. I was on the water for an hour and a half, and I was already freaking out. But they were in that situation. And for me, it like this passage came alive to me because this is the first thing I thought of, right? There were like a couple times when they were in the waves and the winds were blowing and stuff. And Pastor Sunny, she like tells us that, and then she goes to sleep. Like we're freaking out, and she just goes to sleep. And it made me think of when Jesus went to sleep, right? And the craziest thing is, it usually, even with the speedboat going full speed, it's supposed to take you 3 hours to get back. We got back in 2.5 hours, right? Faster than what we expected it to be. So it's so crazy, and like God is so ridiculous like that. But I just imagine in this situation, like the boat's going crazy, and everyone's so afraid. Oh my God, it's a ghost. And he's like, it is I, do not be afraid. And then Peter just stands up. He's like, Jesus. Like the boat's still rocking. Like, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come and I'll go to you. Right? It's so ridiculous. But that's what happens when Jesus, he spoke a word and suddenly everything changed. There's a boldness that stirred up in the heart of Peter. Right? One word from God, it changes everything. They're in a time when it seemed crazy and impossible to hear the voice of God. They're in a situation where you just look, right? And everything around you is chaotic. But for some reason, something happened inside of Peter when Jesus spoke, when it stilled everything inside of him. He was able to find peace. He was able to speak with boldness, right, to listen to the instructions of Jesus. I shared this at our young adults retreat. We had a young adults retreat a month ago, or a few weeks ago, and I got to share this story. And basically, 9 months ago, I came into a season. It was probably one of the toughest times of my life. Yeah, I'm coming out of that season now, so it's been a lot better. But for about 9 months, I was walking through probably one of the hardest times of my life. And so I kind of shared that story, but for about 2.5 years, I was dating this girl. And we were growing really close. And it was getting to the point where, you know, getting pretty serious, talking about marriage. You know, I really cared about this girl, and I really felt like, man, this is like the person that God has for me, right? And so we were talking, and it was really, really good. And like, a series of events happened. I don't want to go into too much detail, but a series of events happened where basically we broke up. And it wasn't just like we're going our separate ways, but like it was like a pretty bad separation. And I remember at the time, like I was hurt pretty bad. At the time, it was like a really, really crazy thing that happened, you know? And I think there was something in me where I could have felt like so inadequate, just insecure about who I was. You know, I shared at the young adults retreat that growing up, I struggled a lot with my identity and my self-worth. And like one of the hardest things for me is letting people into my heart and showing people who I really am. So growing up, you know, I would like hang out with people and I was really good at blending in. I was really good at being somebody that I wasn't just so that people around me would like me. Right, so it was like to the point where, almost like I didn't really know who I was, but like very rarely I would let someone in, and I think this was one of the times where I had let someone like into the deepest parts of my heart, and like it was like my biggest fear that I would show you who I really am, and then you would reject me, right? Because then I've let you into all of the walls, all the barriers, and like into the most sensitive place, and like you still reject me. That's like my biggest fear, right? That's basically what happened. And I could have been devastated. I feel like, man, I could have been wiped out at that point. I could have been destroyed. But the thing is, 1 week before everything went down, God spoke to me. I was in prayer, and God had spoke to me. And he said, Daniel, don't trust what you see. Just trust me. I'm with you. And I was a little confused when I first heard him say that because God wouldn't say that unless something was about to happen, right? Up until that point, everything was fine, you know? Like, we were talking through stuff, we're getting ready for engagement, man, like all these things. And then God says, don't trust what you see. Just trust me. I'm with you, right? And I just took some time and I just meditated on the Lord and I said, God, I don't know what's coming, but you know what? If you say that you're with me, if you say to just trust you, then I'm going to do that. And lo and behold, 1 week later, Like, everything came crashing down. And you know what's crazy? Like, I felt the temptation. Like, I felt the temptation to just, like, want to run away. Like, that's what I do, right? When something happens, I just want to run away from everything. I want to get away. I just want to separate, isolate myself from everyone. I want to, like, just be away from everybody. But for some reason, like, the word of God just kept coming to me. Don't trust what you see. I'm with you. Just trust. Just trust me. Just trust me. And that word, like, I just, like, began to meditate on it and meditate on it and meditate on it. And it was crazy because in, like, the craziest time of my life, in the time where I should have been the most broken, the most insecure, all of these things, I felt the most strong. Like, I feel like maybe some of you probably saw me, and there might have been some of you who knew what was going on, but, like, I didn't really share with a lot of people, and a lot of people came up to me after I shared, and they're like, man, I had no idea that you went through that. Like, I had no idea you went through that. And I really believe it's because God spoke to me, and that one word from the Lord, it, like, really changed everything. It changed my heart. It, like, strengthened me. It gave me strength. It established me in my place, and I was unmovable, yeah. Right? One word from God, it changes everything. In my life, yeah. I mean, in my life, there are winds and waves. There are things that it seemed so out of my control. There was nothing that I could have done to really control that situation, right? Same with Peter. Like, the disciples, they were in a situation where it seemed so out of their control. There was nothing that they could do. But one word from Jesus, it didn't immediately change the exterior, but it changed something inside. And that peace came. And that peace, it carried me. You know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for me those next 8 months of receiving healing, right? Finding wholeness. But there was a peace inside of me where I was unshaken. I knew who I was in God. Yeah. I knew that God loved me. And for some reason, that carried me. That was able to carry me through all the things that was happening around me. You know, like, when you break up, there are a lot of things that you got to do. But through all of that, and through the healing, like, the word of God, it really carried me. It kept me. Yeah. The word of God, one word from the Lord, it changes everything. Right? It changes everything. Peter, when he heard the voice of God, it changed something inside of him. It awoke something inside of him. He was bold. And I love this part of the story because, you know, I think when I first used to hear this story in Sunday school, like, I imagine Jesus was, like, standing right next to the boat. The boat's here, and Jesus standing here, and Peter's like, Jesus, if you tell me to come, I'll come to you. And he, like, steps out of the boat. It's like, yay, and then step back in the boat, right? Yeah, yeah. But I think what it was probably more like was the boat was there, the boat was rocking, and Jesus is standing far away, right? I mean, he was so far away that they thought he was a ghost. And Peter's like, Jesus, if you tell me to come, I'll come to you, right? Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk. He begins to walk on the water. And in the midst of a crazy situation, Peter had the boldness to do something crazy, right? And it's that one word of God. When it comes, it changes everything. It changes everything, right? And, you know, it's the voice of God that comes. And I really believe, like I talked about Emmanuel in the beginning, God wants to come and speak to you because he's Emmanuel. Yeah. He's not a God that's far away. Yeah, yeah. You know, I believe that this is the word of God. I truly do. But I also feel that God speaks to you with his voice. He comes. And there have been times where in prayer, God will speak to me audibly, right? And it might not be audibly, but I believe that God will come and speak to you. Yeah. And it's because he's Emmanuel. It's because he's close. Yeah. He's near. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know that he's near. And he wants to know that he loves you. I think the most powerful thing in the scripture that has been so formational in my understanding of who God is and his love for me is the way that Jesus interacts with the Father. You know, we talk a lot about we're sons of God through Christ, and we see Jesus' sonship and his acceptance of the Father and his love, the Father's love for Jesus. And if you turn to Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just kind of share with you. In Matthew 3, Jesus is getting baptized by John the Baptist. And it says that Jesus went into the water and he came out and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And these words, it came from heaven. It says the heavens opened up and God's audible voice came and it spoke to him and said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Right? This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. And I think that's so powerful because it wasn't when Jesus was on the cross and he was giving his life and he died where the voice of the Father came. He said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. This is before Jesus before any miracle, before he turned water into wine, before he healed any lame, performed anything, right? Before he walked on the water, before he hung on the cross, before he died, before Jesus did anything, God spoke and he said, "This is my son, and with him I'm well pleased. Jesus, if you don't do anything for me, you don't have to walk on the water, you don't have to turn water into wine, you don't have to die on the cross. Before you do anything, Jesus, I want you to know I'm well pleased with you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I love you." And before all of the people that are there, God declared to everyone, "This is my son whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased." And this is the kind of heart that God has for you. And I believe this afternoon, God, he wants to speak to you. And I don't know what circumstance you're in. Maybe some of you are going through difficult situations. Maybe you're going through something new. Maybe you're going through something awesome. But I really feel like God, he wants to give you a word. He wants to give you a word that can carry you through whatever situation you're going through. He wants to give you a word that can give you life. The voice of God, one word, it changes everything, right? It changes everything. So this is what I want us to do. I know this is a little different, and we don't normally do this, but I want us to do something different today. And I want you to close your eyes. And there's this exercise that we do. It's called the Emmanuel Prayer. And it's us engaging with the heart of God and allowing God, giving him a space to interact with us, giving him a space to speak to us. And sometimes we like to talk to God, and we like to talk at God, but sometimes we just need a space where we can give him an opportunity to speak to us. And this is the Emmanuel Prayer. This is us hearing what God's saying to us. This is us listening what God is saying to us. And so the three things is, I see you, I hear you, and I'm glad to be with you. And so what I want you to do is I want you to hear for the voice of God. Hear for the voice of God and what he's saying to you right now. And the three things I want you to hear from the perspective of God is, I see you, I hear you, and I'm glad to be with you. What is God saying to you about those three things? You know, when I was going through my struggle, I did this Emmanuel Prayer a lot. And I was like, God, this is so hard for me. And honestly, I know your word. I know the word that you've given to me. But I just need to know that you are near. And I would do this exercise, and he would speak to me, and he would say, Daniel, I see you. I see your struggle. I see that you're in pain. And I see how much your heart is broken. I see it. I see your pain. And I want you to know that I'm with you. I want you to know that in your pain, in your struggle, I'm with you. Daniel, I hear you. I hear your prayers. I hear the cries. Even the things in your heart that you've never shared with anyone. Even the whispers that you just wish that you could cry out. Even the things that you want to say and you haven't been able to say. Daniel, I hear every single thing. I hear every single prayer. I hear every single thought. And Daniel, I want you to know I care. I care about those things. I want you to know I hear you. I hear you. I hear your words. And Daniel, I want you to know that even though you feel rejected, even though you feel like everyone else might be so far away, I want you to know that I'm so pleased to be with you. I'm so glad to be with you. Daniel, it's such a pleasure. Your presence is a gift to me. Your presence is a gift to me. And I'm so glad to be with you. Daniel, you don't know how excited I am when you wake up in the mornings because I get to be with you and I get to show you how much I love you. I want to be with you. I'm glad to be with you. And as I began to do these things, I began to understand the heart of God, his heart for me. And at first it was a little difficult, but as I began to do it, I began to hear it more clearly and clearly because I began to recognize his voice. And so right now, I just want you to listen for those things. And if it helps you, you can write. I know for me, sometimes it helps me to write. But I just want to give you a space where I want you to hear from the voice of the Lord. I want you to hear what he's saying to you right now. Because one word from God, it changes everything. It really does. I see you. I hear you. I'm glad to be with you. Yeah, just begin to listen for his voice.